His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, which, as you probably know, is now spread all over the world with many people from many countries committed to daily chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And not only chanting this Maha Mantra, but also following principles that even many people in India think are very difficult to follow. Just like there are many people have come here over this weekend who like to worship Krishna. You've all come here because you like to worship Krishna, isn't it? Presumably. Is it not? Yes. So mostly from the Indian community, although of course Krishna is not Indian, although he appears in India. So that culture is going on. People born in India, up to the present day, many of them still have a natural attraction for Krishna. So many people are coming and they like to chant Hare Krishna and see the beautiful form of Krishna and maybe give some donation for the service of Krishna, and in this way perform bhakti. But still, out of so many people coming, not many are immediately ready to follow all the principles of Shuddha Krishna Bhakti, or pure devotional service, which include no intoxication down to tea, coffee, pan, gutkha, etc. And no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating, including fish and eggs, and also actually including garlic and onions. Now, I'm not saying this to put you all down, those of you who are not following these principles, but just to point out that Srila Prabhupada, he brought the most authentic and pure path of Krishna Bhakti. He didn't water anything down for the sake of popularity. In fact, we find that among the many gurus or so-called gurus who came to the Western world from India, almost all of them who were what you might call successful made themselves famous and named their institution after themselves. But Srila Prabhupada made Krishna famous all over the world. But up to the present time, even though many, many people all over the world know at least the name of Krishna, which wasn't the case 40 years ago. Well, yeah, 45 years ago. Krishna, the name of Krishna was widely known in India and hardly known at all outside India, but now the name of Krishna is known all over the world. But even now, the name of Srila Prabhupada is not widely known because he promoted Krishna. He wanted to see that Krishna was glorified because he is a pure devotee of Krishna and a very great pure devotee of Krishna who could bring others to Krishna bhakti. No one thought it was possible. 45 years ago, if people in India were told that all over the world, very soon, there will be people chanting Hare Krishna and following the principles of Sanatan Dharma very strictly, more strictly than almost all Hindus. We find among the Hindus that pretty much everyone is drinking tea, at least, or in South India, coffee. And most of the sadhus, they also smoke bidis. But Srila Prabhupada, he brought the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to people who were without knowledge of Krishna and from the perspective of Sanatan Dharma, most impious. Now, it used to be that most people, or many people in India, were at least vegetarian, and in Gujarat especially. Most of you here today are Gujaratis, I presume. Is it? Tame Gujarati che? But now in Bombay, so many Gujaratis, they will say, "Hum Gujarati hai, lekin hum sab kuch khate." They don't care. Garv se kaho, hum Gujarati hai, or hum sab kuch khate. We're Gujaratis and we eat everything. We're not observing any restrictions. But it used to be that most Indians were, at least in many areas, most of them were at least vegetarians. And they didn't eat cow's meat. Even the meat eaters didn't eat cow's meat. But even that's breaking down now. Sorry to say. Among the Hindus even. Because once they get a taste for meat, then they think, well, beef is cheap, so who cares? Money's the honey. So, Srila Prabhupada, he went to preach Krishna Bhakti among people who had no idea of Krishna, never heard the name of Krishna, who were meat eaters, and to whom the rules of bhakti seemed strange. I know myself, when I was in the 1970s at school in Hemel Hempstead, not far from here, that I was becoming vegetarian and it was considered something very strange or crazy, actually. So for people in the Western world not to perform all these sinful activities is considered something very strange. But Srila Prabhupada went among the most unlikely people, and by the force of his own bhakti brought so many people to Krishna consciousness and made them convinced to the level that they studied Bhagavad Gita very carefully, practiced very seriously. I know myself, when I first came here, there was snow outside. But the devotees, I stayed overnight, and the devotees got me up before 4 o'clock in the morning for a cold shower. I was just a visitor, you know, but in those days, you know, it's all or nothing. So, and then 4:30, dancing in the cold, freezing cold, but everyone was dancing blissfully. And I thought they do this every day. They must have something real, because why would they, either they're totally crazy, which most people think, but otherwise they're totally crazy, or they have something very real and substantial. Otherwise, why would they get up early in the morning, especially in the freezing cold, there's no heating in the building, and sing to Krishna? They're singing in praise of Krishna. So I already knew they had something substantial by speaking with them the evening before. But how did they get this? People in the Western world speaking philosophy, Vedanta philosophy. Sometimes we go in India and we speak with people and they say, oh, it's very high philosophy. But for us, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, it's our normal day-to-day discussion. We discuss every day, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very highly elevated scripture, which very, actually it's meant for very spiritually advanced people. And Srila Prabhupada, he introduced this among Westerners with no background of pious activities. So this is a miracle. Sometimes the Western journalists would ask Srila Prabhupada that, well, you're an Indian guru, you should show some miracles. Because they think that an Indian guru means he can do some miracle. Srila Prabhupada pointed to his Western disciples and said, these are my miracles. This is a far greater miracle than standing on your head for 24 days or fasting for a month without taking even water. These kind of miracles yogis can do by control of the body and control of the breath. So that is something very wonderful, no doubt. But Srila Prabhupada, he transformed lives in the most beneficial manner. That he took people from a background of gross sense gratification. This is a term that Srila Prabhupada taught us. Sense gratification means always looking. What is there nice to see for my eyes? What is there nice to me hear for my ears? What is there for my tongue, for my belly, for my genitals? All the time thinking, me, 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 I need something for my senses. But Srila Prabhupada, he taught the principles of sense control in this totally materialistic civilization and turned grossly materialistic, hedonistic people into self-controlled bhakti yogis, lovers of Krishna, and expounders of the highest philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and instilled in them such a sense of such a commitment to Krishna. They were so convinced. One professor in America, before Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was studying Indian religion, so he'd heard of Krishna. He was one of the few Americans who had heard of Krishna before Srila Prabhupada came to America, because it was his specialized subject of study in the university. Now, he came across some of the early followers of Srila Prabhupada in America. This was in 1966. And he heard that there's some Swami has come to New York City and is teaching about bhakti. So before he met Srila Prabhupada, he met some of Srila Prabhupada's young followers. And he was surprised, because if you meet a Krishna bhakta, you'd expect them to know something about the philosophy of Krishna bhakti. But these were new people, and they didn't know very much. Srila Prabhupada was teaching them, but he was spoon-feeding them, so to speak, introducing the philosophy very slowly, because for people who don't know anything about this subject, well, you have to begin at the beginning. Vaishnavism is the highest teaching of all teachings. In Bhagavad Gita, it's called Raja Vidya, the king of knowledge. But, you know, even Einstein had to start off at some point learning 1 plus 1 equals 2. So, you have to begin at the beginning. So, Srila Prabhupada was teaching in a spiritual, even though he was teaching adults, it was like a spiritual kindergarten. So Srila Prabhupada was teaching at a very basic level. So this professor, Thomas Hopkins was his name, he was surprised. He couldn't understand, because he himself, being a professor studying South Asian religions, as they call it, he himself was quite conversant with the philosophy of bhakti, although he didn't practice it, but he knew about it at least theoretically. So he couldn't understand how these young Americans knew, when he tried to talk with them about bhakti, and they didn't know what he was talking about, many of the things he was talking about. So he couldn't understand how these young Americans knew so little about bhakti, but they were so committed to it that they were following principles which young Americans at that time especially, they didn't follow at all. At that time, in America, that generation, the most popular thing was free sex. And Srila Prabhupada was teaching no illicit sex. Sex is only allowed within marriage for the procreation of children. So this Thomas Hopkins, he couldn't understand how these people had such conviction about bhakti without knowing hardly anything about it. They're prepared to practice it so wholeheartedly and seriously, but they don't really seem to know very much about it. And he couldn't understand this, he said, until he met Srila Prabhupada. Because simply the rules and regulations and the systems and the rituals of devotion to Krishna, that will not infuse anyone with the life of bhakti, with the desire to perform bhakti. It's when we meet and come in contact with people who themselves are full of bhakti, then we ourselves, if we're fortunate, we become attracted to follow that. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't simply introduce a set of rules and regulations. He didn't come in and say, all right, chant Hare Krishna and follow these rules, otherwise you're going to hell forever. Or he didn't introduce any such, or it wasn't simply a theoretical knowledge of God, but by his very personality, being always absorbed in the bliss of love of Krishna and communicating that to others by song, by dance, by food, that was very important. Srila Prabhupada gave the spiritual food, Krishna Prasad. So by his very personality and his intense Krishna consciousness, and despite being obviously such a saintly person and worthy of the reverence of everyone, Srila Prabhupada was nevertheless completely unpretentious and related to all kinds of people without any airs that I know more than you, I'm better than you. So the very personality of Srila Prabhupada was so Krishna conscious that Professor Thomas Hopkins, this dilemma, he couldn't, or this dichotomy, he couldn't understand how people could be so committed to bhakti with so little deep knowledge of it. But when he saw, when he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, he could understand that here is a real saint. Here is a person who is not simply talking about bhakti, but he's living it at every moment, intensely. So that's surprising, isn't it? We don't expect to come across saintly people or genuine sadhus in this age of gross materialism. When we hear about saints in the Christian tradition, the Saint Francis of Assisi is famous as a saintly person. There may be more others, but I'm not so much in touch. No doubt there are many saintly persons in the Christian tradition. And in Indian culture, there are so many, or in Indian history, there are so many great devotees of Krishna, Ramanujacharya, Vallabhacharya, Madhvacharya, so many great devotees, Surdas, Narasimha Mehta. These are all famous names in India of great devotees, but they were all in the past, isn't it? All a long time ago. And with India, after political independence from Britain, became industrialized, and Pandit Nehru and others, especially, they led the campaign to bring India into the modern world, and Pandit Nehru propagated that India had enough religion. We had so much, too much religion. Now we need more industries. So the materialistic atmosphere was being propagated in India, and the West was completely materialistic anyway. I mean, even the Christian religion in the West has been in decline practically since the 19th century with the introduction of Darwinism. There are so many different factors. With factories, then there's a need for consumerism. The factories to do business, they have to inspire people to go on buying more and more and more things, which makes them materialistic. And this works against spiritual life, because greed or the desire to possess more and more things, obviously that doesn't go with spiritual life. So it's a very materialistic age, both in India and in the West. So it's not expected that in such a materialistic age, such great saintly persons as in the past, like Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, Vallabha, and so many, there would be any such great saintly persons. Or even if there were, it's not expected that even if there were to be any such saintly person, it's not to be expected that many people would follow them, because most people are going in the other direction. They're grossly materialistic. And with the advent of gross materialism, philosophical thinking, which anyway most people are not very philosophical in any age, but that's practically come to a halt. So it's very difficult to engage people in genuinely philosophical discussion, because most people aren't used to that at all. Most people's way of thinking is very shallow. Just, you know, drink a pint of beer and go to the football game, and that's about it. Turn on the TV. And most people don't have time to think like this. They're so busy and so harassed with the stress of modern life. So it's not expected that even if there were to be any great saintly person, that many people would take up this strict, pure way of life and dedicate themselves fully to Krishna bhakti and go deeply into understanding Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other literatures, spiritual and philosophical literatures. But Srila Prabhupada did this. Srila Prabhupada is a great sadhu, and if we can actually understand what he has done, begin to understand what he has done, then we should understand that he is far greater than many persons who are advertised as great sadhus. There are many famous speakers on Bhagavatam. They're very popular. They speak on not only Bhagavatam, on Ram Leela. And many, many people come to hear them. I'm talking about today. And in India. And they come here also. Some of them come here. Highly reputed Kathakas. They speak for 7 days or whatever. And many people come. Not so many people came to hear Srila Prabhupada. But what Srila Prabhupada gave was of far greater value than these popular Kathakas who attract many people. One reason they attract many people is because they speak in a style which is attractive. And they speak on Leela. They don't speak on the philosophy. And they don't demand anything of the people who come to them. They don't even suggest to the people who come to them to lead a pure life. They don't suggest, for instance, that they should rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, stop drinking tea. Why they'll just say to stop drinking tea? They themselves are drinking tea. Now you may think, well, tea is a very small thing, and why are we talking about that? But that's the point. If we're not pure in our activities, then we cannot come to Krishna, who is the supreme pure. So Srila Prabhupada, he is categorically better than all these popular sadhus who are interested in their own popularity. But Srila Prabhupada was interested in giving people the real thing. This real thing is not a term invented by Coca-Cola's advertising agency. It's there in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the real thing, the real object of knowledge, which can be attained by rejecting Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. When all kinds of cheating religion or cheating in the name of religion is rejected, then we can come to the actual point of religion. So cheating religion means that these kind of talks which are put on more or less to give people pious entertainment. Of course, Bhagavad Katha or Ram Katha, even if it's given in entertainment style, well, still that's better than watching the average Bollywood movie or the average any movie. The subject is Rama and Krishna. But the point is, it's not presented for the purification of others. It's meant more for the... Thank you. For the, like I say, the pious entertainment of others. There's no attempt to change people's lives or to bring them to a dedication to Krishna. So cheating religion, there are so many varieties. Any variety of religion that doesn't teach us who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with Him, and how to attain that, That is counterfeit. It looks like the real thing, but it's not. So Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, his gift was that he didn't give any watered down process. He made adjustments for the Western world. He was practical and realistic enough, not head in the clouds, otherworldly, but practical enough. To understand that Western people, they can't overnight become to the level of the strict, austere sadhus of India. So he made some adjustments in practice. But he didn't compromise the basic principles. Srila Prabhupada himself noted that if I had given a watered-down process, I could have many more followers. Actually, he was asked about that. Some journalist asked Srila Prabhupada that, well, you're an Indian guru, so can't you fly in the sky? Why do you need to go in an airplane? Why go to all the trouble of taking a plane? So Srila Prabhupada said, well, I can do that, but then the journalist said, then why don't you do it? You get many more followers. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, but then they'd all want to learn how to fly without a plane. But that's not of any real value. The real value is to learn Chatva Dehang Punar Janma Na. How to get free from birth and death. How to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came to give the real thing. He didn't come to teach mystical tricks. He didn't speak in a manner to entertain people or to promote himself. He gave the pure magic of Krishna consciousness. It's when we say he came to give the real thing, and we talk about these principles, it might sound like something very austere or dry, but actually Krishna is the most attractive. Why did people take up Krishna consciousness with all these rules and regulations? It seems that there's no fun. If we tell people no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, they say, well, what's left in life to do? There's nothing enjoyable left to do. But Srila Prabhupada gave the real enjoyment on the spiritual platform that he taught, and by his own behavior showed how actually there is nothing of any value in material life. Everyone's trying to be happy by eating, sleeping, and having a nice house, and having lots of money, and whatever, all the things people do to try to be happy. But no one's fully satisfied. People are full of stress and anxiety. Srila Prabhupada gave the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and taught it in a manner relevant to the modern world, that material life is intrinsically lacking in genuine happiness. But Krishna is all attractive. The very name Krishna means all attractive. So one can experience in Krishna consciousness happiness that is simply not possible to attain by getting any amount of money, or having any number of PhDs, or having any, whatever title one has, Prime Minister, or head of the Rotary Club, or whatever titles one may collect. None of these things bring satisfaction to the soul The only thing that brings satisfaction to the soul is to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness, our consciousness of Krishna, our service attitude to Krishna, to love Krishna. And Krishna is lovable. He is very beautiful. He is very sweet. He is very kind. Everything about Krishna is beautiful. So many flowers have been brought here today and offered to Krishna. That is the best thing to do with flowers. Krishna likes to live among beautiful flowers. He has his favorite animal, the cow, which is a very peaceful animal and gives milk, which is the best food for nourishing the brain in sattvagun, the mode of goodness, which is conducive to spiritual advancement. So everything about Krishna is very nice. Singing about Krishna, offering flowers to Krishna. Krishna's food is the best. I mean, everyone knows that. That's one reason why Krishna is famous all over the world. Because everyone, at least those who are vegetarians, they know that the Krishna prasada, the food offered to Krishna, it's the best. There's no comparison. So in some ways, Srila Prabhupada gave a very austere life, you could say, rising early in the morning and following many principles. But for many who joined this movement, in the beginning they didn't understand much about philosophy, and they liked the singing and the dancing, but what really clinched it was the Krishna prasada, or the food offered to Krishna, because it's worth following all those principles just to get this amazing spiritual food. There's no comparison to that. And actually, we've had this experience that, of course, among Indian people, even today, especially the ladies, there are many excellent cooks. But still, there's no comparison to that which is cooked in Krishna's temple and offered with love to Krishna. Right? You're an excellent cook, I presume. You won't admit it, but no doubt you are. Because, you know, Gujarati, you are Gujarati, I presume. They're all, at least what I found out, they're all excellent cooks. I mean, among yourselves, there's higher and lower, but from our platform, you're all great. You're all great cooks. And all the things they cook, in the English, see, we were raised on, you know, what is it, a slice of meat and some boiled potatoes and Yorkshire pudding and suet dumplings, and that's about it. But then, you know, you have dokla and kaman and rotli and so many things. What is that? Suratma? What is that? Ghari. I mean, that's like the richest dish in the world. It's ghee and that's cavalte. It's very rich anyway. Only after eating that, you have to go to Kashi for maran. That's what they say. Suratma kari and Kashi me maran. Something like that. There's some saying. So all the best food, but when it's offered to Krishna, it becomes just literally out of this world. Because Krishna's food is simply amazing. So even if Srila Prabhupada had given nothing else but Krishna Prasad, that would have been the greatest contribution to human culture in the 20th century. There's no food like that. Now Indian food is very popular in England, but all these Indian restaurants, but there's nothing to compare with Krishna Prasad. But Prabhupada didn't only give Krishna Prasad, he gave the name of Krishna, chanting of Hare Krishna, festivals like this Janmashtami is a huge festival, then Rath Yatra festival, all over the world, so many festivals. He gave Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy by which we can understand who we are, how we can become free from the suffering, the actually intense suffering of material life, modern life. So many people are so screwed up that they're taking intoxication, or they're committing suicide, or they're killing someone else, or committing violent crimes, and people can't live peacefully, even in their homes. Anytime they can be burgled, and society's a mess. We all know it. Whatever the reasons may be, modern life is, at best we can say, euphemistically we can say, it's highly stressful. So Srila Prabhupada gave the understanding by which we can be free from all this distress by understanding our relationship with the all-loving Krishna. And what Srila Prabhupada gave, this is another very important point, what he gave wasn't something he made up. It wasn't some kind of hodgepodge that he put together, but he strictly followed the ancient tradition, the ancient scriptures, the ancient principles. He never presented himself that I am very great, which he was, obviously, but he simply presented himself as a servant of Krishna and a servant of all the previous devotees and sadhus, and a servant of humanity, and a servant of all living beings. So it's amazing how such a saintly person could appear in such a materialistic age. That is Krishna's mercy, that he sent such a great devotee among us. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can attain to Krishna consciousness. So see, these are some of the contributions of Srila Prabhupada. What he has given us is unlimited, because he's given us Krishna, who is unlimited. So on this day we are expressing our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. So we should try to do something that makes Srila Prabhupada happy. How can we make Srila Prabhupada happy? Maybe you know that to worship Ganga, the Ganges river, one stands in the river and with the hands cupped like this, puts the hand into the water, lifts up some water, and offers Ganges water to Ganges. This is the method of worshipping Ganga. We offer Ganga to Ganga. So Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna consciousness, and to express our gratitude to him, what can we do? We can't give him anything, because he's fully satisfied himself in Krishna consciousness. But if we chant Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada will become very pleased, because he likes to see us worshipping Krishna. He has no personal desire. So I'm going to invite you now to please join us again in chanting Hare Krishna, especially this time remembering that this will make Srila Prabhupada very pleased, and we want to please Srila Prabhupada. So please, for the purification of our own souls and for developing Krishna bhakti, for praising Krishna, and especially this time to please Srila Prabhupada, let's all chant Hare Krishna. You'd like to do that? Is it a good idea? Thank you very much. So please chant with me. It means I'll chant first and then you chant after me. You all know the system. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.